Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. And we are moving away now from the context of the American West course, where I've been outlining, you know, the lay of the landscape, as it were, how the 13 colonies gained their independence from England in 1776 and became, you know, America as we know it today. That is indeed what our story is about. Also looking, of course, at the destruction of Plains Indian culture, which was a consequence of that growth. Now we start focusing on the story of settlement and individual groups and why they went out onto the plains, or in today's case, out to the west coast of America. And you need to know that on your course. You need to know about individual groups of people and why they went, why they decided to seek a new life out on the plains and beyond. So today's focus is on the pioneers. And pioneers are groups of people, individuals, immigrants, usually from Europe, who decided to leave America as it was in the East Coast and head out across what is known as the Oregon Trail and settle in the west of America, particularly Oregon, which is on the west coast, hence the Oregon Trail. They were groups of ordinary people, often saved up their money to buy a wagon so that they could take their entire earthly belongings with them, which, you know, highlights the Plains Indians watching this mass migration that they were going out there permanently. And they went there, as I say, with the intention of a new life. And the journey, you've got to remember that the journey is called the Oregon Trail because it is literally a dirt track, for want of a better expression. There weren't any railways in the west part of America yet, not until 1869. And, you know, in timeline terms, we're talking the sort of 1830s, 1840s here. So these are, you know, one of the first groups that head out from those eastern states out into the west. And of course, that is because America starts gaining territory, such as the Mexican Cession and the Texas annexation after war with Mexico, etc., etc. So, you know, I've covered that in a previous podcast. So if you're completely unsure as what I'm talking about there, please do go back and check that out. So as America inherits land west of the permanent Indian frontier, they start actively encouraging people to fill that territory, which of course has an impact on the lives of the Plains Indians who are already living there. So anyway, the Oregon Trail is established by trailblazers or mountain men, the first people to sort of head out into the wilderness, as it were, from America as it was, bearing in mind, of course, it was just those eastern states at this time. And they are the ones that draw up maps, and they are the ones that learn to speak the language of some of the Plains Indians, and they establish this trail which leads from Independence in the east of America all the way to Oregon. Now, we're talking a huge journey here. We're talking a journey of about 3,200 kilometers, or approximately 2,000 miles. And as I said, there were no train tracks available yet. This is a dirt trail, so they went on horseback or walked or by wagon, taking in a lot of cases all their livestock and their entire worldly possessions with them so that they could start new life. Okay, now the Oregon Trail is important to our study because if you're doing the EdXL course, which is what these podcasts are mainly focused towards, your questions here focus on importance, consequence and narrative. So really it's, you know, not just enough to know the events themselves, but what happened as a result of them, what happened afterwards and why they were important. And so the Oregon Trail, of course, once established, leads to more migration, which is why it's important. So we're going to look at the Mormons next time. You know, the Mormon Trail follows the Oregon Trail. So the Oregon Trail sort of sets the precedence, if you like, and allows and makes it easier, or at the very least makes it people more confident to move along it and head out to the west. So this is a long journey, as I say, 2,000 miles, 3,000 kilometres. It would often take, because they're on foot, often take between 3 to 6 months, depending on, you know, who you were taking with you. Often there were very young children, elderly going along with them, depending whether you were riding or whether you were on foot or however it was that you went. So this is a exceptionally long journey, and it was absolutely fraught with danger. And right in the middle of Wyoming, right in the middle of the states, right at the middle point of the Oregon Trail, the halfway point, if you like, is Independence Rock. Now, Independence Rock is literally what it sounds like. It's a giant rock in the middle of the desert. And it's called Independence Rock because it coincides with Independence Day, which, of course, the Americans gained on the 4th of July. Now, it's called Independence Rock because travelers along the Oregon Trail knew that they had to reach Independence Rock by the 4th of July if they were going to have a successful journey, because if they were later than that, they ran the risk of getting to the Rocky Mountains during snowdrifts. And if that happened, they ran the risk of getting stuck. So it was kind of like a marker. They knew they had to reach Independence Rock by the 4th of July. And actually, it became a great symbol of, you know, a great morale boost. And a lot of pioneers would reach Independence Rock and there'd be a great party. So often there was, you know, a great atmosphere around Independence Rock. You know, people would break out their instruments and they might have saved some specific, you know, particularly nice food for that particular part of the journey. And it would be a great celebration. And also in Independence Rock, pioneers would scratch their names into the rock itself. So it's known as the Great Register of the Desert, where people would, you know, sort of make their mark. They're fiercely proud to be making the journey across the states to this new life. I did mention that it was, however, a journey fraught with danger. And there are literally thousands of names of immigrants moving along the Oregon Trail on graves that litter the entire journey, but particularly the part of the journey after Independence Rock. And sometimes you can match the names of people who scratch a name into Independence Rock, you know, the Great Register, with graves later on. So we know that people did pass away on the journey. And there were lots and lots of different potential dangers moving along the Oregon Trail. So first of all was Plains Indians raid. You know, they're moving across the plains to live on the West Coast. And not all Plains Indians were hostile, far from it. Many were friendly. But, you know, part of the Plains some Plains Indians culture was to raid and to take. It's what they did. And so, you know, some Plains Indians would do that. So they ran the risk of running into hostile Plains Indians. Also, this goes back to the first podcast I did, guys, on this topic, you know, about the plains itself and the dangers of living out there and how difficult it was. You know, the extreme weather, the harsh wildlife or the dangerous wildlife. And so those dangers still exist as well. You know, killer hailstones and tornadoes and the lack of shelter, all of those things are extremely dangerous as well. Lack of water is another one. There are some places where they'd be able to pick up water from rivers en route, but certainly as they get to the Rocky Mountains, that becomes more scarce. And also sickness. In the 1830s, just like in London, America, and the work of John Snow and all that lot, you know, medicine through time course, simultaneously, you know, this is the 1830s in America, cholera is a big killer on the Oregon Trail as well. And so it wasn't a safe journey. It was fraught with danger. But lots of people did make it out there. This wasn't a few people. This was a mass migration. Okay. Now, rather than stopping and settling in the middle on the plains where life was very difficult for Western Europeans, anyway, if you were used to, you know, cordoning off an area of land and planting crops and building a house, you know, the plains weren't good for that. The land was poor. There was no shelter. There was very little wood to build a house. You know, Plains Indians lived there very successfully for hundreds of years because their entire life was made to live nomadically and live on the plains. It was designed for that kind of existence, whereas Western life was not used to that. You know, Western or European life was not used to that. And so they skipped it. They went over the plains all the way to the west coast of America, where it was much nicer weather, where the weather was much nicer and the soil is fertile, and where they could make a new life. And it shows us, what a draw the west coast of America was in order for people to risk their lives to make this ridiculously long journey, heading off into the unknown, to settle for the rest of their lives, not knowing what they were going to face when they were out there. It really does show us, perhaps not how desperate people were, but how, excited people were, how desperate people were, I suppose, for a new life, willing to risk it all to head out there. And of course, it was extremely dangerous, and the fact that it was dangerous is typified or shown by a particular group of pioneers that head out there and came under difficulty. And of course, now I'm talking about the Donner Party. And the Donner Party were a group of pioneers that made the journey along the Oregon Trail. Okay, so they set out in April 1846, set out on the 2,000-mile journey. There's a group of approximately 80 of them. You see in different places different numbers, but approximately 80 of them, led by a businessman called James Frazier Reed, who was keen to start a new life and build a fortune in California, in Oregon. And he'd read a book called The Immigrant's Guide to Oregon and California, which had been written by some pioneers. And what that did was, that book was trying to coax people out there, and it advertised a new shortcut across the Great Basin, which is saved something like 400 miles. But what Reed didn't realize was that this shortcut was theoretical, and nobody had actually tried it out. And it's that fact that's going to lead to difficulty for the Reed Party later on. So we use the Donner Party as an example of how dangerous the journey could be for pioneers, and there are others as well, like the Sagers and some others as well. But the Donner Party, perhaps the most infamous group of pioneers that got into difficulties on the Oregon Trail. So, as I say, about 80 people, initially set up by Reed, but taken over by George Donner after Reed was banished from the group for killing a man. And so George Donner, hence the Donner Party. And the group leave, the whole party, large party, 80 of them leave Fort Bridger at the foot of the Rocky Mountains on the 31st of July. And really, the difficulty comes when they decide to take that shortcut, which was called the Hastings Cutoff. And when they do it, they think it's going to save them 400 miles. What they don't realize is, A, it's never been done before, and B, certainly never navigated by, but wasn't designed to be navigated by wagons. And the new route was actually too hard, and they felt that they were. Well, they found that they were running out of food. They had to abandon all their cattle crossing Salt Lake Desert, and they'd also suffered an attack by some Plains Indians as well, and so they'd already had a difficult party, sorry, a difficult journey. The party had already had a difficult journey, and on the 30th of October, the party reached the last mountain pass before California, where they got stuck because of large snowdrifts. And we're talking 20 feet high snowdrifts, allegedly. So this is, it's not just a little bit of snow that makes life difficult. They are literally snowed in. They are stranded. They're forced to make camp and hide out until the snow ends. So they'd already made a journey of about 2,500 miles now, and they'd been traveling far, far longer than they anticipated. So they were already severely running low on provisions, on food, and on water and other things. So they were only 150 miles from California when it all goes wrong for them. So they'd come all that way, and sort of right at the end point, they get stuck in and around the Rocky Mountains, and they're stuck. So for 4 months, they're holed up. Their cattle, any cattle they did have with them, then they start eating bark and twigs, and eventually, most famously and infamously, they are forced to eat those from their own party that are dying. So they resort to cannibalism just to stay alive. I mean, this is absolutely gruesome stuff, folks. We can't even imagine how desperate these poor people would have been in order to resort to such a horrific act. So when they are rescued, a rescue group does head out from California, from Fort Sutter, where they were due to end their journey. And some of them are rescued. So again, as I say, numbers change, but out of about 80 odd that set out, around 40 odd of them survived. So about half of them died from starvation and lack of provision, showing just how dangerous the journey out west could be. So that's the Donner Party, that's the pioneers. Remember, though, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you've got to know that importance, the consequence, what happens as a result of it. And what happens as a result of the Oregon Trail is that it leads to more settlement, thousands of people heading out into Oregon. And soon, as well as Oregon, to California as well, because of the gold rush. And the gold rush breaks out in 1849. People use the Oregon Trail to get there. And of course, the Mormons, who head out onto the plains as well, use the Oregon Trail, part of the Oregon Trail, set up the Mormon Trail, inspired by the Oregon Trail as well. So you can see the consequences of it: increased settlement and inspiring or influencing groups such as the Mormons, groups such as the 49ers, the prospectors, gold miners. So Oregon Trail, absolutely instrumental, extremely important to facilitating even more settlement and the settlement of the West in general. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's been this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. See you next time, and as always, keep working hard. Bye-bye.